I want to talk about something real quick about something that is common for autistics, for children, for all of us, essentially, and that's education. Autism and education is something that's needs immediate action, in my opinion, in my experience. There are a great deal of opposing forces upon the autistic phenotype within the education system, the classroom and the school day, the structure of the school day, even, which is likely the hardest. The easy ones to kind of understand are the socialness aspects of it, the social dynamics, the speech and language, and the sensory processing. The classroom is full of other students, of course. That is what it is. Some autistics are one-on-one or small groups, and that's great. We have to first understand that that there are underlying feelings of wanting to help that are also driving forces against this. We have family members, loved ones, parents, brothers, sisters, whatever the case is, and educators, school staff, support staff, special education teachers, principals, all those involved in the school district, in the school building, and they all want to help. What is lacking is their understanding of autism is foremost. So within that school day, or the classroom, the socialness, for humans, socialness is the most unpredictable thing that we can do. There are a lot of different things that could happen at any time, and they have various meanings. Some behaviors and actions have multiple meanings. So it's hard to really dissect this and interpret this in real time because of the sensory processing problems. And the way that memory works and understanding works. There's a lot to keep up with in the school building. The first symptom, I use symptom because that's what the DSM uses. The first kind of trait or phenotype observed in autism is that social withdrawal. This is for a reason. Whatever that reason is debated in science, and that's fine. But what's not debated is there is a social withdrawal. There is a lack of interest. So we're kind of forced into this environment that without this socialness, without that interaction, it doesn't work. And that's a problem. So, how to really reduce the opposing forces upon the autistic phenotype needs addressed. People need to understand that they have these underlying drives and urges to help and tell the autistic person what they need to do, what they ought to do, what they can do, what they should do, etc. And this is a big problem. The classroom is filled with many students, and there's a lot to keep up with. Whenever we hear things, whenever we're being instructed, the whole sensory processing part is a little bit different. And if this isn't you, then you won't know. But Temple Grandin describes it very similar to my experience. If you're talking to me and you're describing something, be it something that I'm familiar with, or if it's a brand new novel thing, I'm taking that information and I'm building it up from these catalogs and samples that I'm already aware of in life. And I'm just piecing these things together. And it comes into a visual form. Sometimes it's more like a movie where I'm seeing it play out. Remember the J.D. Barker episode? We talk about it a little bit. And the episode on the default mode network. I have to bring these things into this living arrangement in my mind. This is how we think and how we conceptualize it, bring things into abstract things into creation. And sometimes this takes time, especially if it's new. And what's not understood is by others is, okay, how long should that take? And how well are you developing this? Remember whenever I mentioned that the autistic phenotype, the autistic brain, is similar to AI, where it's just taking endless amounts of images and piecing them together to create this one image. So we have to consider that. We have to consider that's likely, I don't know for sure, but likely much different than others. And you can also start to understand why the social withdrawal, because the outside world is unpredictable and there is a lot of sensory processing going on. So if we can just maintain a certain object, topic, or subject, now you can see why we prefer that. We should be able to see that by now. We don't really do relationships with other humans, even though there are times that there are desires for that. What we do is take this object or subject or topic, and we can just dive into that unlike no other. And this was all shown with the Kanner kids in Asperger's as well. Asperger has his first paper in 1944. You can go to the episode on that, but he covers autistic intelligence and Asperger's little professors. That's because of what I'm describing here. Now, with this sensory processing like this, and it's really hard to keep up, especially for taking notes, especially if the professor or teacher has material to get through, has a goal to get through by the end of the period or the end of the day. Sometimes that's why the small group or one-on-one is very much a better scenario. But the biggest thing I want to mention is B3. If you don't know B3, the DSM breaks down the phenotypes or the symptoms into two criteria. Criteria A, which is social interaction and communication, and criteria B, restricted repetitive behaviors. You probably know that. But B3, and I've done an episode on B3 as well, restricted fixated interests that are abnormal, and intensity or focus. How that was ever arranged in those that with that wording is unbelievable to me. You can't say something is abnormal if it is an interest and it has such intensity or focus. Now connect that back to Asperger comments and our ability to just fixate on that subject or topic or object and to just perfect that. What we are doing is building up that category or that catalog of information, and then we can store it. And then we have that. We are now equipped with that. I don't say that we exhaust it, but it does. We do perfect it. We do perfect things, I think, quite efficiently. But they're very limited. The number of them could be limited. And this is where the school day is really, this needs addressed faster than anything with autism. And that's the subject switching. You can't expect us to be in a school for seven and a half or so hours, depending on the district, and participate in seven different subjects. It's not working, and it will never work. We can't have a subject for 45 to 50 minutes and be on that with everything I just explained, and then switch to a different subject, 45, 50 minutes on a different subject, and be able to conceptualize this, build this up, whatever the topic or discussion is, and then switch again to a whole different topic. 45, 50 minutes. Be present in that. Build up the category, the catalog, being able to conceptualize what is happening, and just repeat this all day long for seven periods. It is not working. There's a big push as well from people that are not autistic. They don't know what this is like. And say, we need to be in the general education classroom again. That's fine if you can do it. Most can't. But it's being forced. Because other people, what I described earlier, these educators, these people that have underlying urges to want to help, they think they know what's best. There also could be underlying drives that they're career driven. They want to show that, well, I help include the autistics again. This is not working. B3, if you don't know B3, then you should just not comment on autism ever. This is a very tough thing with autism. Being able to switch task and not and leave that behind. You ought to know B2 as well with the scheduling, the rigorous schedules and the sameness. How can you define criteria B? And how can you define the school day and the classroom, knowing that there are complete opposites, and expect us to be able to move through education properly based off of social norms, based off of this pseudo criteria, the curriculum, and think, okay, you've made it through education. Now what? Well, I didn't make it through education because education sucks to me. If you don't consider B3, you're not doing anything. If you really want to understand an autistic's problem, you have to calculate how much we are forced into social norms, and then consider our specific phenotype. I don't want seven subjects in one day. I didn't then, and I don't want it now. But there are still children being forced to do this, and nobody seems to grasp this. What is going on in education? What is going on with the DOE and spending? And the results suck. Why can't we be in an environment that fits our phenotype? As kids, they probably don't even understand that this is a driving force onto them. And parents either, because they're just trying to figure out things too. Until B3 is considered and understood, you won't do anything. So I hope I have a message of If the child wants to just learn a couple of topics and perfect those, then do that. Allow that to be good enough. You don't get to say what's good enough.